I think I told them boys, put it out that those guys need to be here for tonight, because we're touching on something tonight that that can determine your success or your failure in ministry. And it can show you how to walk into promotion. And they may be on the line, but all who graduated from the school need to be in on this class tonight, because of the insight I see that can be carried out. So may the Holy Spirit help us to understand what the Lord is showing us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we know we talked about 1 Chronicles 16:22, about do not touch my anointed one, and do not do my prophet no harm. We told you the word touch was in a negative connotation of, I just experienced that about 2 months ago. And now I'm in a position where when amendment was trying to be made under disguise, when I made that apostolic correction, the Lord brought to my attention John the Baptist when they came out to the river. John told them, go back and bring fruit for repentance. And then the Lord brought me to when John Mark, I said, I got the scripture, you can look at it. John Mark, let's see, it's Paul and Mark, it's Acts 15:37-38. That was a time, the season where the ministry got kind of rough, and John Mark turned and went back. You don't just join yourself to anointed when you get ready. That's one thing about the LTMA. We got this line of men to check this thing out, because you don't just get in and out and how you want to do. So when John Mark wanted to go back, Paul said, no, he can't go now. And so Barnabas, he was Barnabas' nephew, and Paul had, Barnabas was chief apostle. They split at that time, because Barnabas wanted John Mark to go, and Paul said, no, I can't take him with him. Paul took Silas with him, and John Mark and Barnabas went. Then later on, when he brought some fruit for repentance, he got back contacted with Paul. In some kind of way, he adjusted himself. So the young man I corrected called for me, but he cannot talk to me now. He has no audience. He texted Leroy Jr., and Leroy would not answer. There would be no answer, because until he brings some fruit for repentance. Now, everywhere he go now, he's going to be challenged with this. Man called me, a man said, listen, what happened? He said, one of my men told me you did some correction. I said, yes, I did. He said, well, I had him at my church, but I told him he better try to get in contact with you. So this government is a protection. Uh-huh. We have to learn, class, kingdom government. It's not all about love, 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 love. Some things have to be corrected. And you have to have a certain amount of coldness at a certain time to deal with things. You know, pastors know that, right? You can't just pacify things. So, all right. And so when he talk about touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm, it indicates criticism, obstacles, or harm. And it also indicates that anyone touch the anointed of God, they are touching God. We talked about that, right? And you remember, and this is very important, the church spiritually don't seem to understand ranks, and they don't understand that there are some that you have to be under, some higher than others. You have to understand. Everybody understand that but the church. I don't know why. In Numbers, look in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, when Miriam and Aaron, what the result of their criticism in spiritual authority. Is that one class we're teaching here now? We're still teaching spiritual authority in this school? We're not now, are we? It's not on our curriculum, I don't think, I'm Leroy. That is a powerful curriculum. I know some of the students who went through it taught them spiritual authority. I guess the best teacher on that that I ever heard is Ronald Guthrie. He's a master at that teaching, and he got that heart for it. I need to bring that back into the classes. He got the heart for it, to teach spiritual authority. But then Marion and Aaron got in trouble, and she became a leopard. And if you read that, it's frightening, man. Judgment come on Marion, she become white as snow. She got leprosy, and then Aaron kind of intercede for her. And the Lord said, no, she got to keep it a certain long length of time. And those type of things can be avoided if we understand that. Aaron was chastised. If you look at the 10 and 12 verse, he was chastised. The chastisement was on him because he was distressed because of this. And God left Marion under that punishment for a time, a full week. So it can be an example to all the other people. Be careful what you do in ministry. Now, I'm saying that to say this because I'm about to say some powerful things. Now, I'm saying these things from a perspective of experience. I've done these things. And I have, not only that, results. Okay? Not only that. At this time in LTMA, there's a remnant in LTMA. Not all of them. But there's a remnant going through the same process that Elisha went with Elijah. Same process. Joshua went with Moses. If Joshua wouldn't have paid attention to Moses, when the Lord was talking to Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua, he'd have been plumb lost. Because the Lord talking to him, but talking about Moses. As I was with my servant Moses. So if you don't know how he was with his servant Moses, you just hanging around, you ain't going to be able to handle the assignment he's about to give you. So the church has not known, and the church has not known apostleship. The heaven to earth structure and a supernatural government, they have not known that class. You're supposed to know this in this school. You're supposed to see it in every classroom and understand that you can leave here with respect. Some things I'm going to talk about in honor. And whatever man sows, that shall you also reap. If you do it right, your day will come. If you do it right. Make note here, the person who betrays a prophetic mantle will never flow in the prophetic mantle. That's a powerful statement. I have that in loud color. The person who betrays a prophetic mantle will never flow in the prophetic mantle. The person who betrays the apostolic mantle will never again flow in the apostolic anointing. You have to be real mindful. And I'm going to teach you about this impartation and about, let's talk about the man enemy of the anointing. Let's talk about some man enemies of the anointing. Because you will not wash your salt unless you know how to operate in anointing. When you come down to spiritual laws and spiritual decrees and spiritual action, you need the anointing. You just can't function. The Holy Spirit has to be your friend. In this business now, you can imitate, but you can't revelate, because you got to go. That spirit world has to be penetrated. And the Holy Ghost has to escort you into the depth and the reality and of the realms and the dimension of the Spirit. Are you following me, client? There's realms, there's dimension, there's heavenly porters, gates, doors, windows has to be open for to operate in this type of ministry, or have this type of stewardship in which you're pursuing as a student of the Word. Here's a man enemy, some man enemy of the anointing is being familiar, which causes us to take lightly or to disrespect the mantle upon a man or woman of God. Becoming familiar, you know, friendship, playship, you know, and that familiar spirit get on you, and you're not going to see when the person make a move. Because you're looking at them out of equal eyes. And you don't recognize there's a fine tuning, a fine touch on that person. Price have been paid. They're moving in another dimension, even though you know the same scripture. And so when you get familiar and the person become common to you, You're not. It's actually disrespectful, and you're not going to be able to receive. I've seen that happen. When you become familiar, you will not be able to gain anything from that poison mantle. You know, yeah. Some of my followers get angry. Hey, Leroy, how you doing? Had a man come to church and stayed here a few minutes, you know, and he saw me out and said, "Hey, Leroy, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." I said, "He'll never make it." Why? He when I'm preaching, he won't recognize who I am, and so he's not gonna have the honor and the respect. You see, faith and anointing works together. Now, listen, class. The anointing is never received by skeptics. You see, because that spirit world will dump you. Because when you're moving through the spirit world, you got to have respect and honor, and you got to have faith, and you got to recognize it's not going to go by your brain. Jesus kept shaking them up because he operated with no balance in the natural. He did things backwards to religion. He wouldn't call a prayer meeting. He'd put spit on a man's eye. Everybody else praying. He worked different, you know. And so anointings will work different. And if you don't pay attention, you're going to miss it. Just because you preached a good sermon don't mean you got that. And you got to watch it, man. You got to be careful. All right, so now watch this. Faith and anointing would not work together, and they would not. The anointing is never received by a skeptic. It only worked by people who exercise their faith. All right. And it's so important. You know, we could talk about Luke 4:18, Acts 10:38, 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27, Isaiah 10:27. All of these aspects of anointing is so important. Those verses I just called out is a matter of life and death in ministry. Acts 10:27, Luke 4:18, Acts 10:38, 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27. Those are some of the most powerful verses that give you some concept of how important the anointing is. When you set in under anointing, if you don't pay attention, you'll find out the person who is emanating the anointing will turn to the person who's paying attention. That's why sometimes when you're preaching, one tends to reach out to one. I had that happen to me many years. My spiritual father, Kennedy Hagin, would reach out to me all the time because he saw I was capitalizing on his anointing. I was receiving it. I was respecting it. I wasn't familiar with it. I just wanted more. And by that, I received so many mantles and anointing from him when sitting among thousands, and they didn't get it. Didn't get it. When you do not place a demand on the anointing, he or she stopped being recipient of the anointing. You have to put a demand on it. You have to respect it. You have to honor it. You have to know it has cost a price for somebody to wear an anointing. And especially if you can see results in an anointing, if you stick with that person, the same thing going to fall on you. See? The classic, you know the classic is in King, when Elisha followed Elijah. That's a classic, boy. What is it, 2 King 2? And then he got down to Elijah, asked him what he wanted. He said he wanted a double portion. He said he asked a hard thing, but if you took your training right, you'll get it. Yeah. I taught you how to see in the spirit. Yeah. You've been with me. You've seen. If you got your training right, the only way you're going to have it is you pass the test. Boy, passed the test. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Then he got the mantle. You remember he got the mantle too? Wrapped that mantle and came back raw. Now you got to understand in that same lesson, you're always going to have how you pronounce that word? Stool pigeon, I call them. You're always going to have some around that ladder gapping and talking that trash, how great a minister they are. don't have nothing to show for it, but he's just talking, running mouth. They might have some things, you know. Now, listen, let me tell you something about, I don't believe a person prospers just because they got stuff. Why? The devil can give you stuff. But Abraham said in the 14th chapter of Genesis, said, listen, I don't want it, what y'all are offering me. Because I don't want y'all to say, God, what are you saying? He said, God, I read it there. God made me rich. See, so just because a person try to preach prosperity and got two cars and a few suits, don't mean that they're prospering. Don't mean that it's revelation. Don't mean that God sent them. The Bible said, try the Spirit by the Spirit, not by your emotion, not by your feeling. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what's going on. A lot of people, I get on. A lot of people lost a lot of money by just getting excited. When you do not place a demand on the anointing, he or she stopped being recipient of the anointing. Faith can keep a man preaching even when he does not want to continue. This is not always understood, but it's caused by someone placing a demand and not letting go until something happens. All I tell you, find your daddy. Find that person. Find that person and stick to that person and listen and pay attention and support that person and sow in that person and serve that person. That's what Elijah was doing. Other prophets laughing. Now they're all under him now. They was all under him when he came back across that river. Individual faith can powerfully influence the anointing on a man or woman of God. You know, a man or woman of God see you pursuing and they can recognize you pursuing, they'll pour their heart out to you. I've had, listen, brothers and sisters, I've had a man talk to me among 20,000 people. He's talking personally to me. The 20,000 people didn't know, they were just talking to me. Reading my mail, telling me what my next step is, talking poison to me. I mean, no, on purpose. In the meeting. I knew it. I told my wife, I said, now he's talking to me. Now, wife. And then I said, now he's going back to the crowd. Isn't that something? But I was just that hungry, just that close, just that unfamiliar, just that recognized that there's a regular man, but yet he's not regular. So let's talk about how to receive the benefit of a mantle. Now, we talk about a mantle, you're talking about an impartation, you're talking about an anointing, you're talking about a spiritual progress that has been made through a process. See, you must put in your note, put process, put passing the test, put progress. Because you're not going to progress in spiritual things without a process. And there's somebody you got to follow. Somebody got your mantle. Or can train the mantle God won't put on you. Let's put it that way. I already had the self-same anointing, but it had to be trained. As I talk about my dad, he's dead, and you know, he's going home to be the Lord, but I can sense his spirit in this room right now because I pursued it respectfully, you know. In the latter part of his ministry, some things happened. I have to say it out loud. I think his son provoked a meeting. His son doesn't walk as deep in the spirit. His son is a good guy. But I think he provoked that meeting. But I got a word from God on the porch that morning not to go. And a Sam scenario. Someday I'm going to put it out all the way. How to receive the benefit of a mantle. Recognize. Receive. Honor. Serve. Recognize. Come on. Recognize. Receive, honor, and serve. Now, further down the road, you're going to see the man or woman carrying the anointing, you got to accept their flaws, too. They're not going to be perfect. You're going to accept this. Oh, my daughter, one lady told me, I didn't know you put gas in the car. I either put gas in the car or I'll be side the road and catch a ride when you come by. You know. Now, on the other hand, while I'm here, on the other hand, Paul had to watch, I watch, that people may exalt you too high. Now, even though a lot of things have happened in your ministry, but you got to know how to get out the way. You got to know how to throw the praise and the worship to God. If not, you're going to be in trouble. You know. Now, I know there are times when too much is being said, I curl up in the womb of the spirit. I curl like a baby in a woman's womb. I curl back in that because I know the spirit carries me. And I know I can't go no further with this praise you now. This going too far you now. So I get back in incubating the wound of the spirit, and not to hurt the person. The person mean good. They've got too excited, and they're going on and on and on and on and on. And you can sit there and bathe in that if you want. You're gonna be in trouble. So let's talk about recognize the mantle. Wow, look what it says. When you recognize the mantle on a person and you know that's the mantle God wants you to follow, this is a person who will take us to our inheritance. Wow. Secondly, it's the one we must learn from and follow. Learn from and follow. And getting your tail whooped all the time. See, the Bible says in Hebrew, God chastises, you know, chastisement. And so in things going to happen, they're going to correct you. Ask Philip and Ron. I said, why you wasn't there, Philip? What you did? I mean, we just laughing and talking. All of a sudden, I turn on him. And so he just, I said, why you didn't do that? He said, what? You know, you're a person who don't understand. He said, man, what, we just talking now? All of a sudden, I turn into another man on him. Because my spirit, I'm fathering him, you see. Even though I can laugh and talk, but all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says, check this. That man or woman is the vessel God will use to pour the anointing into our lives. Now, here's what somebody won't pass now. See, this is God's setup. I get it from the Holy Ghost. I get it praying in tongue. All right, pray in tongue. Pray in tongue, Holy One. You can't bypass God's system. So let me just read it down. You catch what you can. This is the point who will take us to our inheritance, the one whom we must learn from and follow. That man or woman is the vessel God will use to pour the anointing into our life and loosen our purpose and destinies. They will also lead you to flow in the same level of their anointing. They will also lead you to flow in the same level of their anointing and even greater. Because that's what happened to, and Joshua, you know, Joshua had a strong anointing too. So recognize the mantle. How to receive the benefit of a mantle, you got to recognize it. Now, avishly, that is not done in the body of Christ. The man or woman who wearing the anointing have to not make themselves cheap. Because people really make you cheap. You see one of the boys or one of the girls, hey! You know. But they're not, they won't be able to shift. I've had some people able to shift, laugh and talk with them. But they always was aware. Charles and Marion Mitchell was friends of Carol and I a long time. They're still under us. Our dimension began to move, so they backed off. We were friends, you know. We'd go out and eat, but Charles, he saw the dimension moving, and he just backed off. And still, but they would laugh and talk. We'd go out and eat, but always that you could feel that have reverence there. They wouldn't break the mold, you know what I'm saying? They knew how far to go and don't go no further. They wouldn't get familiar. You find members in the church, they get familiar with a pastor, they're not going to respect that pastor, you know. They'll tell you, hey, rep. You know, rip up your car or something like that, but it ain't no reverence or fear. All right, receive the mantle. Welcome the person as the one God has anointed and understand that this or her message is from the living God. You have to do that. Important to understand that anointed men and women. Now, here's, you get ready for this because I want you to understand this. important to understand that anointed men and women have weaknesses as well as strength. Because they have this heavenly treasure in an earthly vessel. Now, we're not talking about no being committed to sin, you understand? But they're lamb talk, they'll make a mistake like anybody else. But you got to look. I saw mistakes in Brother Hagin. You know, I saw something he did. But what I'm going to do? You know, I know he was a man. But yeah, he didn't have no way he went out and did all kind of crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? That meeting was a mistake, what his son called, to correct prosperity and get it lined up. My dad knew that. He didn't never say it, but he knew it. You know, that was a mistake. But, you know, then again, here's a lesson of spiritual authority teaches. You remember when Noah got drunk? One of his boys went in and disrespected him. He saw him naked and started talking about it. The other boys backed up. Yeah, when you see your spiritual leader, you see him in a weakness, turn your head. Don't go to question him. What, you saw that man? No, don't you carry that, because the Lord's going to hold you accountable, because God's going to be able to forgive the man or the woman, and you still running your mouth. And now you're missing out. You done cut a slice that you can't step in. And Satan will trick you with that. Are you following me, Clarence? Satan will trick you. This is a very important class now. This is very important. Therefore, you cannot expect that person to be perfect before welcoming him or her. In other words, they're not going to be perfect. I've come to this pulpit sometime and sacked people out, and then went home and had to repent and come back and change it. You cannot receive the strength of the anointed if you do not accept their weaknesses. you can't receive. If you don't accept their weakness, you can't receive their strength. That's really a test, isn't it? Now, you have to honor the mantle. Here we go. And, you know, God, sometimes you wonder why God used you in such a tremendous area. But listen to what he's about to say now. No one should approach a man of God with empty hands. Shouldn't. It's not a money factor, money. But it's a sawing fact, I guess. It's just in the Bible it didn't. The guy said, "We're going to talk to the prophet. What we got? See, I heard of the guy went to talk to the apostle. Him and another preacher went to talk to the apostle. So he told him to meet him at the restaurant, and that was the first time talking to him. And the apostle said, "I'll come. I'll talk with y'all in a few minutes." And so he sat down, and the guy sat down. And the first thing they slap on the table, money. Slap the money, then put the record on and said, "Talk to us, apostle." And I heard the boy preach. And he got it. He has the same anointing that apostle had. Yeah, he got it. Over the years, you see, he bought all of his tapes, all of his books and stuff. But he knew how it go. He didn't just sit down at the table and say, "Can you help me, sir?" You don't do that. Right, go to the doctor's office. They say, "I want to talk to you for a minute, Doc." All right. No one should approach a man of God with empty hand, not because it can be purchased, but is a manner of honor. Y'all got that, class? The Bible demonstrates the power of honor when God affirmed that if we give a glass of water to a prophet, we'll have the prophet reward. That's Matthew 10:41-42. Write that down. You need to know that because that's been skipped over for the last 4 centuries. People don't recognize it's not that the prophet needs for you to give him water, but you need to bring the water so you can get close to him. He might sneeze on you. He might spit on you. He might cough with some divine germ. I'm telling you, man, this thing, you got to go for it. If you want it, you got to go for it. We got to quit these old religious spirit. We got to get rid of this old religious spirit, man. You got to go for this thing. $100. You got to go for these things. You got to go for it. You got to recognize when you're in the presence. Even the world knows. I say the world. Yes, the world way. You have to walk with that. Don't knock me. You got to know when you're in the presence of greatness. And you have to know when you're in the presence of an anointing. Always real reverend, Brother Hagin. Always real reverend. He asked me, one day he asked me, told me, said, after service, I want you and your wife to go eat with me and my wife. I said, oh, God. Then another time he said, I was at the auditorium, Tyler, the preacher. He said, Brother Tom, come on, go to my house with me. I said, yes, sir. Then he get in the car and drive. He had a Lexus drive real fast. Brother, hey, playing now. He's driving real fast. You know his ear. Driving real fast. Thought I'm going to get scared. I just sat there with him while I'm driving. He turned. I just sat there. And then he looked to see if I was. He turned real fast. He just playing. One of the most anointed men in the world. He get me in the car and now trying to bluff me on a drive. Man, I'm from the country. Drive this thing in the ditch if you want. I don't care where you drive this thing. Took me to his house. Showed me his vault. You know, and they say it was a secret vault. Sister Hagin said it used to be secret. he showed everybody. He get excited. Yeah. And then thousands of men probably desire to go to his house, sat at his table. I just got invited. Why? Pursuing. There's a scripture in Proverbs. I don't even know where you look it up. You heard it. Your gift make room for you. You know, I always thought about being a good preacher. And so I went out to preach with one of Dr. Dollar's son. I was preaching for Rick Layton. And we were driving. Rick was going to buy me some tennis because I didn't bring no tennis. I was preaching for him. And Rick broke that scripture down. Rick said, no, Dr. Dollar broke that down. Your gift will make room for you. He said, it ain't talking about you being so anointed. It's talking about your gift make room for you. Watch this statement now. Honor gives us access to the reward system of a man or woman of God. Ooh, I wish I could pour in your head exactly what in your heart, exactly what all this means. But my God, you watch it. How many we got on? We can't tell how many we're listening now, Leroy. My goodness. My goodness. It touched me to understand how, 62, all right, well, I'm talking to you two, y'all listen. And see, somebody got to teach this. You say, well, you want me to serve you? Well, listen, I'm doing all right. I don't have to have nobody serving me. I'm just trying to tell you what Elisha did with Elijah, and he got it. That's God's way of doing things. So when you find that person, don't care who don't, you just tell them, well, no, I'm gone. You know, a lot of guys trying to talk me out of the meeting. Man, you're going to toss it behind that white man. I don't care if he's an elephant. That's who the Lord told me to follow. That's when I found. See, I first was following Fred Price. And Fred taught me a lot of things. I walked the floor, how to teach and how to quit hooping and hollering, and how to talk to people, you know. But then all of a sudden, Fred started talking about this man. And when I got a hold of this man, I found out the combination of the word and the spirit at a deeper dimension. And that's the route God was taking me. That's who he had followed. So I never denounced Dr. Price. I always kept sowing in him. But I started following Brother Hagin with him. So serve the mantle. The mantle imply working and sowing into the mantle without a personal agenda. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You know, but as if now, in other words, the person with the anointing is not real estate. Or the person with the anointing is not stocks you can buy in. You don't own them. Sow your seed, get out the way. Got it? All right. It means loving the man of God and the mantle that God have deposited upon him. Listen, you listening? You are able only to carry the mantle of the one you serve. Now, when you as spiritual children obey these principles and follow them to close, they will flow upon you the same anointing. When God loosened a new mantle upon you, let me say four things, about three or four things. You begin to hunger and thirst for more of God like never before. You want to grow and mature. A strong of desire to commit and change come like never before. Been there, done that. Watch this, is the word of Jesus. Say it another way. Some people want the new wineskin, but they are ready to change. They're not ready to change from the old, want the new wine, but they're not ready to change from the old wineskin. God loosened the mantle directly upon the person. Now let's talk about transfer. By a person transferring his or her mantle to another, this can happen in three ways. I get this now, get this. Lord, I wish I had somebody told me this. I went through the bushes, went to Africa and the jungle, and the tiger, the lion, the snake. I deal with everybody, you know, down, especially down in the deep south. This thing, these type of things, listen, ladies and gentlemen, was not brought down here until I brought it. I had to leave here to go find out. I knew it was more. Then little bit by little bit, I started bringing this back. Then I brought Brother Hagin. I brought Kenny Copeland. I brought Charles Capp. Brought Fred Price. You know, different people down in this area. Fred didn't come to this church, but we brought him down in New Orleans. I remember I was sitting there, and the man was on the board with me. We brought Fred there, you know. The man said, how much you going to give, Lee? And I was pressing in the spirit. I didn't have money then, but I was pressing. So I told him, and he said, I told him 5 or 10. Was it 5? 5. And he said, how about it? I said, no, 5,000. He said back. He said, man, because that's a no-no down here. They didn't know what they're talking about. You get $120, you done hung the moon. But I saw that was another area, and not $5,000 like $4 to me, in the essence of giving it, you see, because I did what was right, you see. Oh, y'all listening, huh? God loosened the mantle to record upon the person by a person transferring his or her mantle to another. This can happen in three ways: by atmosphere. Oh Lord. Atmosphere is on my mind. Boy, I'm praying about atmosphere. Association or by influence. Three things. Atmosphere, association, influence. God can loosen the mantle of a person on you, all right? God will connect us to other people. We must, class, become wise discerners of relationships. So recognize, receive, honor, and serve. Come on, recognize. Come say it. Receive, honor, serve. Now, don't you forget that. Don't forget that. Now, listen to this statement here. Because Satan's going to try you. The anointing you receive by association can be lost if you begin to criticize or dishonor the mantle you have received. So you see, God had his thing so that you can receive from a person, but if you start dishonoring that person, God will retract it back off you. Now you can mimic, but you won't have that refreshing, ongoing dynamic of that mantle or that anointing. So here are some things you must do for God to give you a mantle. Now, you read that in 2 Kings. I should have read it at the beginning, but I just want to go ahead and teach you, because you can read the scripture and see how Elisha followed and served Elijah, and how other ministers trying to discourage him, other prophet, in school of prophet. It was in another school, and they tried to top it. You know, they probably said, come join our school. They said, no, ain't no school like this school. And they were going on with it. So you must hunger and thirst and desire for this mantle. Here's how you birth hunger and thirst. Like I told you, I said, I've been saying 43 years. My wife said, no, we've been married 43 years. It was 41 years and over that I've had this thirst and this hunger on me. You know, Jesus said, blessed are they who thirst and hunger after righteousness, to be filled. But there's a thirst for ministry, a thirst for more. More of God. Oh, God, I want more. And there's nothing to hide. Anybody around me know I have that thirst all the time. So you must thirst and you must hunger and thirst and desire for this mantle. Hunger and thirst can manifest in an individual when he is fully aware of his personal need to receive the anointing. When they become aware that I need this anointing. See. What then it says, prepare to pay the price. Prepare to travel. Prepare to give. Prepare to be looked at and not spoke to sometime. prepare the anointed take 5 or 6 people out and don't never ask you to go. You say, what the hell? What's going on here? You know, just prepare for all kind of stuff, man. I mean, it's just, and then the person who anointed, I learned, the person who anointed ain't got to cater to nobody. Just do what they really to do, you know. The anointing of mantle must be planted and not thrown away. The mantle must be cultivated. We must develop covenant relationship. Wow. They got a demand on it, anointing. So, class, I can't say too much about the, I can't say, overspeak about the anointing. It has cost me over the years, but the cause have nothing, can't even touch the results. I'm going to say something to challenge you, all right? I'm about to say something. Both of y'all ain't going to make it. Not unless you change. Unless you recognize how important this is. This is not just a tea party partner. This is business. This is ministry. And I said that just to challenge you. My desire that you be 100% make it. But I want to tell you, see, sometimes people fight when you're telling me you ain't going to make it. Say, what? And then they go back to digging because it's so, it costs you. You a real prophet, a real anointed pastor, they're not going to cater to you. You can forget that. Because they're crippling you if they do. Now, if you read every replacement in the Bible, when Joshua took Moses' place, it is because he had served Moses. God wouldn't even thought about it. If Joshua wouldn't have served Moses, isn't that something? God would call somebody else. Call Gideon somebody. He ain't calling on Joshua. But Joshua had served Moses so well, you see. Are you following me? Yes, sir. Now, I have men around me, men and women around me, been around me, even my staff. I mean, I got people in the church that they're just real. They're just, the lady who cooked for me, my business relationship man, even though he's my nephew, but they got such a respect. And then, you know, I can call them all at 2 o'clock in the morning. They'll all be at my door. And I just tell them, sit on the porch. I'm going back to bed. Y'all set you up till 6 o'clock. They'll sit there, partner. They'll sit there. Somebody else will call them stupid, you know. Yeah. See, that's what happened with Elijah. Yeah. They thought he lied. But they find out, man, we stupid. You're the man that got the anointing. I bet you when he came back across the river, they found out who was stupid. And then this thing really touched me when I first read it. When these kings was trying to find an answer to something. Man, the qualification. Listen to this deep qualification. Yeah, he had 5 or 6 degrees. No. It said, we know a man who poured water on Elijah's hand. What did God do with he poured? They knew that he had been with Elijah, and they knew some of Elijah had got off on him. They knew how Elijah worked. It's so simple, Claire, but yet it become complicated with religious ideal. You know, God didn't send you to this school for no reason at all. God sent you here for a reason, that you can pick up on these things and not cripple yourself. You can cripple yourself by being a phony. Yeah, you can cripple yourself by just looking for something, not ready to serve. You're going right in. Boom. Because, see, the Spirit, listen, when a person get around me, and they're not real. They're looking for something. I know it. In a matter of a moment. I know that they didn't come to serve. They come to get. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work, you know. I got a man now talking about moving here. And he says, I'm coming to help you, Dad. You know, and he's a nice guy. You know, but... Is he really coming to help me? Is he really coming to serve, or he coming to look for something, dude? Or are he trying to set me up? You can't set me up. I've been knocked down, got up, and went back to the bathroom. You know? So we got to, God know our intention. We got to be real in this thing. This thing got to be real. If God told you, follow me, just follow. If something's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. But don't try to make me make something happen. Can't do it. We all to be out of order. Then I'm gonna mess my ministry up. I ain't about to mess my ministry up. Yes, sir. Then let me talk a few minutes now. The anointing. Now you're not going on and on about the anointing, because I sort of, in that area, grew up. I mean, I told you my experience with my dad when God said he could stop and you can take off. I was in a meeting, my first time seeing my dad, and the Lord told me, said he can stop and you can take off right where he stopped. But then the Lord said, now, I ain't know how, I'd have drilled a hole if I knew who he was. But then the Lord said, but now, remember, this is my servant for almost 50 years. What the Lord is telling me is that you got it, but you don't have it. Follow him so he can show you how to use it. And for years, I thought I had his anointing. I would say, I got Brother Hagin anointed. No, that night the Lord said, I've given you the self-same anointing. So both our anointing came from God, but he trained me in it. You follow what I'm saying? He trained. You got to be trained. You got to be trained. And you got to be trained in anointing if you're going to do anything in the ministry. So, we're talking about these three aspects of the supernatural: faith, anointing, and the glory. Let's look at the glory for a few minutes. The third dimension of the supernatural. Three dimension of the supernatural. We need to know this because there are very few ministers know about the supernatural. We talked about God when he talked about man. He said he created man in his image and his likeness. And then the Bible talked about being in the image of Christ. Well, that's supernatural territory there when he talks about that. That's supernatural stuff. You know, God shaped man from dust of the ground, breathing his life, resting his life. At that moment when God breathed breath into that man, take it like this. At that moment, God imparted the fullness of his virtue, nature, and glory to that man. If you really want to look at it, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, it talks about partaking of the divine nature, because I preached some about his son. That's so important. I preach that supernatural life on the inside of you. That supernatural power on the inside of you. And it consists of that faith, that anointing, and that glory, that image, and that likeness, and that breath of God. My goodness. That breath of God on the inside of me. That life of God. If I get tuned into it. You know, a lot of people praying and reading the Bible, but they're not tuning in. You have to tune into that life. You got to be ready to move with the Spirit. See, now I felt unction hit me. That's why you saw him shifting. Because I sense the Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Just come in this room. Come in his room. See. It happens. It happens. And you got to be, my goodness, you got to know how to receive him when he manifests. See, we often talk about good preachers. Good preaching and all that. Oh, what's the atmosphere? What's happening? Why we don't have no supernatural going on? You know, God came and landed down here in July and did a lot of things to show us, you know. And then, but on the other hand, the enemy tried to throw me with that, and I'm going off with that, and it's not my major. People still broke. So I got to go back to money coming. I'll never be broke another day in my life. That's my assignment to the body of Christ, along with all the other amenities, but I have to keep feeding the body of Christ until they come out of debt. Where they can, why people don't follow me all over the world who really love me? They ain't got no money, that's why. And they got to go to that little job. That's why. Still living under labor, they're not living under favor. When the Spirit of God get through apostolic and prophetically teaching you these principles and ushering these impartation on you in your life, if you can't get there, God has made it possible. Get on the internet. You set your laser self up in the house, and the meeting going on, and you don't even look at it. Look at it, why it's going on. Don't treat me like a coffee pot. Put it on later, let her perk later. No. And then listen and sow. You know, what that number is. Boo, 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 boo. Send your money into it, right? I want it hot, fresh. Like biscuits, you know. Waffles. I like waffles cold. I don't eat it often. But when I eat it, I like them hot, I mean. I don't like them cold. You put cold waffle on my plate, and you just lost a customer. No, take it back, make some more. I don't want it cold. See. And so you all got to learn. You all got to learn to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, when that anointing is realized, become a reality, and you pay the price, then you have the ability to exercise dominion and lordship. Authority. Go back to the first Adam. You'll be the first Adam. You'll be operating in full-breasted glory. Here's what happened. Within God's glory, mankind have no understanding of sickness, death, poverty, depression, or sadness because his original design did not recognize these trials. See, the further you get in anointing, the further you get in faith, the further you get in the glory, the further you're going to get away from this stuff. Yeah, he ain't had to wait for no harvest. The harvest is already there. Now, two apostles taught me this, and this is strong, man. When you talk about glory, you're talking about eternity, you listen, class, where everything is now. Everything is now. I have it now. See, you're strong on that. You're strong on that. Now faith is, see, now unto him that's able to do exceeding. Now is the day of salvation. Work out your own salvation. Because if you understand, salvation means soundness, safety, wholeness, prosperity, deliverance. The word teaches this. When creation took place, everything was already fruitful and matured. Now, until Satan accessed Eve's mind. When he accessed our mind, that's when the fall came in place. That's why I'm teaching those generation of salvation how to police their mind and seal their mind off. And because Adam had God's nature, you know, the Bible said, "Ooh, man, Adam named all the creatures." No, Adam was named because he had God nature and image and likeness. He thought like God. He wasn't sin conscious. Boy, if you wasn't sin conscious, you'd be something. All of us. But there's always there's an element of sin consciousness, no matter how purified you try to be. You know, there's an element of that. But Adam was a man, you know, he had nothing but God in him. He's just like God. He said, you a giraffe, you an elephant. God said, go ahead, humble. You know, that's how God wants us to dominate today. Now, some of us are dominating more than others. Why? God had no respect of person. Some pay the price. Some have other agendas. Man, this is a sellout. See, and I studied self-help and all that stuff. And, you know, being positive-minded, optimistic and all that. Fine. But there's still a higher dimension. You're not supposed to help self. You're supposed to deny self. So this anointing, this glory, the glory world, you know, I'm going to talk about the glory this week. People think glory is just fire. And no, glory, gold, money, provision. My God. Listen very carefully. Why Adam was able to carry things out, why Jesus was able to carry it. The Bible said he was full of grace and truth, didn't it? Yeah, full of grace and truth. And it says something about the glory of God, too, was on it. Well, in Hebrews, he talked about he uphold everything by the word of his what? Power. Because he was in his exact, there that glory is again. Hit me again. He was, my kutalasa. It's just like that. That's the way it happened. Anything goes on, anything possible. If I was pushing in now, anything could happen in here. And this next step, we're going to tell you why. This is where you want to get. One day you won't get that and you want to remain in this. Because of this glory and because of being fully in God's glory, he was fully capable of carrying out his task effortless because he dwelled in the glory of God. let me recap something for you that will help you. In Matthew chapter 17, I talked about his Sunday up on that mountain. And he took those three inner circle boys with him, Peter, James, and John. Jesus took them up on a high mountain apart and then shifted from the inside to the outside. Them boys couldn't handle it. They came back down. Them boys come back to the natural. Can we build three tabernacles? And the night chapter Mark said, they said that because they didn't know what to say. See, it was such a glory experience. They couldn't handle it. Jesus was trying to show them something. You know, Moses and Elijah showed up talking to Jesus. Them boys talking about building three tabernacles. Then the Lord showed up and said, hush, boy. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. Just do what my son tell you to do. Read it. Matthew 7, just do it. Just say, hush. But they won't build three tabernacles. They won't go back to a flesh set. Man, trying to take them in the glory world. It'd take a while to get people in the glory world. Now, when Adam sinned in the garden, God cursed the earth and withdrew his presence. Watch this. Inhale his glory from Adam's body, and he began to experience death immediately. But the residue of the glory lingering in Adam for him to live to an age of 930 years. We done lost some glory, haven't we? It was glory kept him. Hallelujah. Everything. that has God's glory has life. Death indicates an absence of his glory. We need to see this. When Adam sinned, something shifted in the mind of man. Watch it. He was disconnected from the original source of infinite knowledge, and the human brain lost a major percentage of usage. They were like God. After the fall, the process of provision was no longer harvest seed as it was in the beginning, but it turned out to be seed harvest. See, you didn't see it. You don't mean it. In the beginning, the harvest came first. Right. Yes, but because of the curse, and some people don't understand, if you don't know the seed, you're cursed. You got to put the seed out. Some people are trying to get harvest without the seed. It don't work like that no more. Because we got an enemy, Satan. So how you can get back to God's original plan is follow what the word say do at this time. Some of y'all don't got it. You don't got it. Don't got it. You don't got it. You don't got it. Read in the beginning in Genesis. It was harvest time and seed time. Otherwise, you ain't had to sow no seed for no harvest. The harvest came and produced the seed for the next harvest. So if you want to get back to experiencing that type of life, you got to go from seed to harvest now. Boy, I'm telling you, that's an eye-opener, isn't it? I said, that's an eye-opener, isn't it, Glad? After the fall, the process of provision was no longer harvest seed. It was as it was in the beginning, but in Genesis 8:22, look at that. Genesis 8:22 now. Now it's seed time and harvest, as long as the world remains. See? If you look in Genesis 1:2-3, you find out the harvest came first. Hi-ya-ya-ya-ya. Boy, that's something there, boy. You can think about, you know. But you can make, oh my goodness, you listening? You can make the harvest come back. You can get off a hard time. See, debt and lack and limitation and poverty and surviving all came by the church not really teaching God's people how to grow up and mature, that nobody would have to tell you raise your hand when God show up. Yeah. You know, I see in service, we just say, raise your hand. I had to get so dogmatic one Sunday there. Did you come here in a wheelchair? So people sat down. I should have said, I'll see you leave out here in a wheelchair. Because everybody else standing up, see, people make these little sad pussyfoot excuses. You know, my leg hurt. I know your leg hurt, but I had people with hurting legs stood up and got that manifestation. Now, I know sometimes you may have to sit down, but don't do it to me all the time. You ain't no special group in here. Messing with my anointing. So today we got to go from process to process. Each process taking time to complete. You understand, Clay? Get that. You go from process. You're reading these scriptures and think they're going to jump out there. They're not coming. I said they're not coming. You can read them, you can memorize them, write them on the wall, say all you want. They're not coming. You got to go through a process. What you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're thinking, what you're believing, what you're saying, what you're expecting. How your gratitude for what you have now. How many times you say thank you, Jesus, today? Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Instead of begging for something else. How many times you thank him already what you write? Thank you, Lord, I was able to get out the car. Thank you, I was able to get out of bed. How many times? You need to thank God for what you have. Because if you don't appreciate what you have, gratitude is important. Yes, sir. And the only reason we're on time, now the curse left us on that. And so when you become a student and mature, you get off of time. And you get back. See, now we're so time conscious now because we've got to make 8, 7 o'clock, 7:30. We've got to be there. See, because we switch. we switch from favor to labor. See. I think it's sometime read Amos 9, I think 13. I think it's in the Message of Bible, I think. Where I tell you where things start taking back, going back the other way. And so here's a statement here. When his presence manifests itself, everything in the natural accelerates and the supernatural appear. I got Amos 9, 19. But read that in the Message of Bible about the soul, and you'll see, you get a great revelation. When his presence manifests, everything in the natural accelerates and the supernatural appear. Now, may I say this, Lord? That's why my ministry is so blessed. None of this happens automatic. You understand? That's your acceleration. And the things just happen, start happening like never before, you know. They say, how much you say you're going to mail off next week? We're going to mail off $1 million to knock the plan further down, then it'd be down to $3 million. She'd be a wrap in a few moments. And I had to tell the people, y'all didn't pay for it. Y'all ain't on it, but you didn't pay for it. Y'all didn't get on about $1 million. And that ain't $1 million. I've been sent that $1 million off. No, this is a fresh $1 million. Just got property, them people over there, they can't handle it. They won't hold the money. They say, well, I don't hold it. I don't know what. Put it on the principal. You saw what was on the check. Yeah, this is. I got shoes. You got shoes. Oh, God, children got shoes. I want to put my shoes on right now. When I get to heaven, I'll put on my shoes and robe. I want my robe now. That robe already paid for. Huh? I'd like to have me a magnificent silk robe now. Put it on in my house, sit down, and my skin just crawl because there's silk running across it. See now, y'all in the school, I got to talk to y'all. Hey, pick your cup up. No. God wants you blessed. He just don't want it to take you over, but God wants you to have the best. And if you hang around me anytime, you're going to recognize there's another spirit going on. And all of these boys can tell you they got some increase for hanging around me, girl. And if you keep hanging, self-same anointing. Self-same anointing. Class. The things you heard tonight are so important because the average Christian has no idea about what we're talking about. Most of the things that we're talking about in this school, the average Christian have no idea about these things. My oldest son, Leroy Jr., and I start setting up curriculum, and we start asking questions of what the people need in school. I guess spiritual work with him, and then him and the other boy got to start running with it. That's the way it runs things. My three sons, I'm training them in the days to come to take over. I don't know who's going to take what over. I don't know who's going to pastor in the years to come. Long time, got to wait. They might be old and they might be dragging around. My daddy said I could pastor. He stayed around here so long, you know, because I'm not retired. No, Lord Jesus, I'm not retired. But I'm training these boys, you know, training them how to get along. They got to, you know, my sons never had a fight among themselves. If they did, they did it, and they better not let me know it because it's going to be another fight. You know, now they had misunderstanding. But I never had no hollering, and I had to go pull them off each other and all that stuff. But I'll pull something off them all right. But that's what I tell when Philip and Ron and Dan and all those boys who have sons, I got right on them. I said, no. I said, pull your son. I told Philip, Jeremiah was like he was reneging. stayed on his butt. Now he's in the socket. He's going now. He's going for it. He's serving his dad. He's preaching. You know, man, that's his place. I wish y'all would get a hold of that. You know, that's the legacy. That's the way it worked, man. Now, Ron, yeah, word of knife, know this. You know, I never forget Ronald, my right-hand man for years. Kept my back, still is. But he told me years ago, he said, Leroy Jr. getting up here, now I'm going to get out of the way. What? That's not normal. Get out of the way. Leroy better get his butt back. All his work I done here. No, but that's, see, when you know your place. But I trained Ronald. Ronald had been trained, you see. Now, Ronald had a brother. I couldn't train him like I'm training Ronald. I knew his brother before I knew him. But I couldn't train him because he had a lot of ideas, and I couldn't get him to calm down. And was a gifted boy, too. He was gifted. Yeah, he was gifted. Nice guy. But you got to be able to be trained. It's so important, class. Stand on your feet. Let me pray for you before I leave. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you the lesson that had been taught here to these men and women here in the auditorium, and though the 60-something watching by internet that is in the school of ministry. I thank you for each instructor, their family, their ministry. And I thank you tonight for each student. And Lord, whatever, you know, whatever they're up against, in the name of Jesus, let the anointing from these classes help them to step through this thing. Let different portals open from heaven, gates and doors and opportunities open for them. And let them stop seeing things as obstacles, but see them as opportunity. Because you always make a way, Lord. And so we're thankful tonight of the warmth of the fellowship that we're having in school, the respect, the honor of all these students. I bless them because, Lord, we haven't had no problem. These students have flown. They're learning new things. Many of them come from good churches that have already been trained. But we're so thankful for my members who are here that they flow. They know how to flow, that the instructor can give the instruction. And we just have not a problematic school. We thank you for it. And we bless them for it now. Whatever anyone standing in need, dream, or desire, let them through these classes and through the anointing that is on my life, the anointing of increase, the anointing of wealth, the anointing of prosperity, the anointing of abundance that you place on my life and my ministry. Let it be there. Let them rise and get to the position where they can enjoy life but yet do ministry. Enjoy life, do ministry. Do ministry, enjoy life. I thank you. I thank you for those you surround me with, and I surround them with faith and anointing and the glory that they'll learn how to operate and function in the supernatural. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, class. Y'all take note because you know Barbara's going to come over that test. I try to go over it over and over again so you can get it. And remember, what did boy tell you? Ever-increasing life Thursday night. At 7 o'clock, we'll be there Thursday morning at 10:30, and we'll be there Friday night. Now, how can I say this, Lord? New revelation on money coming will be coming forward. Matter of fact, it's so strong, I might teach the same revelation all year to every church, because what I do is I study so much, and my dad would teach the same text, but it don't come out the same. You understand? Just more be pulled out of the revelation. You see what I'm saying? And so I was talking to my wife about it. My wife said, I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm praying for you right now. Because because she know I do a lot of studying and I get a lot of notes. But I'm aiming to ask the Holy Spirit to help me because I have some new revelation that God gave me for this meeting. It's the first time going to Carwin Church. But, you know, I just take what God gave me. And we're going to impart something about the seed that day, and the two nights are going to impart something. No, I ain't going to tell you tonight. No, but it's revelation that will bless you. If I'm already set for it. I'm already set. After being around this altar 2 or 3 hours one day, and Lord starts showing me some things. You know, most of my sermon come while I'm praying in tongues, not while I'm reading the Bible. See, I'm reading the Bible all the time. But when I start praying in the Spirit, I got my Bible, I got my pad there, and then God make a statement. And I write the statement down. He said, number two. I said, all right, Lord. Then it gets so fast, Sometimes I need to have slow up a little bit. You know, revelation's not coming. And so it'd be fresh, for a fresh word. So I'm excited about what all he's going to do, because you start saying things in the meeting and he start telling you other things. And that's just the way it works. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there. And you're going to get there early, because that church don't hold them about 200 people. Jeremiah told me, I don't know how many, about 200 or if that many. So you get there early enough. I got to try to get my intercessors some seat. I got to talk to Montreal. I forgot to tell him, I'll get my intercessors some seat and my praisers some seat. That's half of the church there. Because I'm bringing my own praise team, because I'm about atmosphere now. And, you know, my praise team is shifting now. God is changing them. Our service have changed. Talk to me, member. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I ain't lying. Don't y'all make me look like a liar, y'all up in here. Y'all know the service has changed. It just has changed. It's a shift to another dimension, you see. And now we're training everybody to get into that shift. And they'll get into it. They'll get into it. As long as they respect me as a pastor and an apostle, they know I'm looking out for what's best for everybody. And now in a traditional church, you can't do this. I got my place, my mic, and if you take my mic or take my place, I'm going to another church. Why don't you give me another mic and another place and never reach where God wanted to be? See like a glory. It's a different anointing. That different anointing in everything. And we got to learn how to accept that, man. Roll with it. Flow with it. Get blessed. All right. God bless.